Welcome to the weekend in this edition of the Florida Roundtable here on the Florida News Network. I'm Bill Mick. You can catch up with me and our podcasts at BillMick.com. The first show I hosted on the Florida Roundtable when I took over in December of 2023 was about the Florida insurance crisis. Our guest was an insurance broker who detailed that situation for us. The insurance industry won't and can't fix this issue. It's left to our state legislators. The situation has shown some improvement, but it's far from fixed. The House is investigating potential fraud by the industry that further complicates the issue for Florida homeowners. Two House members join us today on the roundtable, and their lawmaker perspectives are the focus on today's Florida Roundtable. Monique Miller and Hillary Cassell join us in moments on the roundtable.
My hospital stay would have cost $25,000, but with VA healthcare, it's free.
My education would have cost $42,000, but with VA benefits, my books, tuition, and housing are all covered.
The down payment for my home would have been $74,000, but with my VA home loan, my down payment was zero. My service was then. My benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Up to 44% of veterans say reentry into civilian life was difficult. 20% say they experienced depression, and 6,000 vets complete suicide every year. You're not alone. At the Florida Veterans Support Line, over 300 veterans like you call every week for resources, referrals, and support. Connect with one of our veteran peers who has walked in your shoes and can help you take the next step. You're not alone. Call 1-844-MY FLVET or visit myflvet.com.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
Ticks can transmit Lyme disease and other dangerous illnesses. Protect yourself and your family with Summit Green Armor Insect Repellent. Clothing and outdoor gear treated with Green Armor Insect Repellent repels and kills ticks, chiggers, mites, and mosquitoes for up to 6 weeks. The handy spray bottle makes it easy to apply this odorless layer of protection. Green Armor Insect Repellent is available at garden centers, hardware stores, and at SummitResponsibleSolutions.com. That's SummitResponsibleSolutions.com.
Nice to have you with us this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. State Representatives Monique Millery and Hillary Cassell are with us as we talk the state's insurance crisis. If you're a homeowner, you know what this is because it's hitting you in the wallet very regularly. Ladies, thank you for taking the time and joining me this morning. As we open up, I'd like you to introduce yourselves to this audience because you're from different parts of the state, and let us know who you are, what got you into the legislature, and what your focuses are. Hillary Cassell, let's go with you.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Sure.
So my name is Hillary Cassell. I am a sophomore, so that means I am my second term as a state representative. I have the honor and privilege of representing the constituents in District 101, which is Broward County. It's comprised of portions of Fort Lauderdale, Davie, Hollywood, Hallandale, and all of Dania Beach. So I'm an East Coast girl. And I'm a third generation native Floridian. I was born and raised in basically Wellington, Florida, went to Florida State for my undergraduate degree, moved to Broward County to go to law school. I've been a practicing attorney for almost 20 years. I started my career in Broward as an assistant state attorney. And then I moved into the civil practice and I represented insurance companies in property damage cases. I represented everybody from the big companies that you think of, from Lloyd's of London to Aspen, QBE, all the way down to Citizens. And I've been representing policyholders now for about the past 10 years. So when you think hurricane, you think after a storm, an insurance company doesn't do right by you, I'm the kind of attorney that you would hire. I am the proud mom of a beautiful 9-year-old little boy. His name is Shepherd. And as I was mentioning to you before we got started, in my spare time, I am currently getting a master's degree at Florida State in the risk management and insurance program because I just can't get enough of insurance.
So you've seen this from both sides, inside what's going on here. I'm looking forward to your insights today, Hillary. Thank you for taking the time and joining us. Monique Miller, no stranger to this Florida Roundtable audience, joined us before you were elected to the Florida House as an expert on IT issues as we talked about those things. Now you find yourself in the Florida House in your first term. And you're working on these issues as well. Hi, Monique.
I am. Good to be back. As you know, I represent Southern Brevard County here in District 33. And I absolutely, you know, love the area that I come from. And we are no stranger to, unfortunately, these storms, too. I knocked on about 20,000 doors to get elected last November. And I don't think there was a single conversation that didn't involve insurance and the cost, the rising costs of insurance and what that's doing to my constituents. And so this has become a passion of mine, and we were offered, you know, some input on which committees we wanted to serve on, and I was privileged to be granted to be on the insurance committee. And this has been a very interesting process. As you know, I studied physics undergrad and rocket science is within my reach, but I would say that insurance has taken a little more work to get a handle on.
Well, that's why we brought Hillary along today.
Absolutely.
So that'll be great. That's good stuff. This crisis has been going on for some time. It didn't develop overnight. This was a long-term problem getting into it. And so far, it's a long-term problem getting out of it. And we've just got a minute and a half or so here. Off the top of your head, Hillary, is this fixable with the conditions we see in Florida right now? I mean, what are the chances in the next 2, 5, 10 years we see a fix to this, that it's a better situation than it's been?
You know, I think it's fixable, but sometimes I think we might need to change our thinking as to what fixable looks like, right?
Okay.
You know, we've to some extent been in a crisis in this area since Hurricane Andrew. The players have changed and the issues have changed, but really, if you look at how our market has been, it's really never been a stable, affordable, available, reliable marketplace. We have a good few years and then a storm hits and things change and prices go up. So we really need to be forward thinking in our approach to how we tackle this issue moving forward, knowing the hurricanes are getting their bigger, stronger, faster, and causing a lot more damage.
Very good. Hillary Cassell, Monique Miller, representatives in your Florida House of Representatives, with us as we discuss the insurance crisis in the state this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. Nice to have you with us on the Florida News Network. We're back in moments.
Now you can get generic Viagra shipped to your door for about $2 a pill. Get the same impact for less. Call Steel Man Pills now and get the same blue pill for about $2 a pill. Call now for the 50-pill special and save even more. Plus, get a free bonus.
800-621-4764. 800-621-4764. That's 800-621-4764.
Want to hear something about life jackets? Try inflatable life jackets. Life jackets save lives. Wear it, Florida. For more information, go to myfwc.com. A message from the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision. Especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed. Hi. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibella for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Back on the Florida Roundtable, I'm Bill Mick. Representatives Hillary Cassell and Monique Miller are with us as we take a look at the Florida homeowners insurance crisis. And let's go to you, Hillary, first. As a Florida native and someone who's worked in this industry, what got the state of Florida into what we're calling an insurance crisis for homeowners here in the state?
So you really hit the nail on the head, right? This is not something that happened overnight. This has been something that, quite frankly, has been brewing for some time. You know, if we take ourselves back to Hurricane Andrew in 1992, we had a very different marketplace. Our marketplace was filled with really large, financially solvent, stable companies, you know, all the big names that you can think of. Well, after Hurricane Andrew and the risks associated with that, you know, we started to see some changes in what what availability we had. Then you really kind of fast forward to the 04, 05 storms, which we just got crushed back to back to back with really severe storms. That's when the marketplace really changed. We saw our large insurance companies leave the state. And what sprung up as a result of that, some reforms that really allowed sort of those small domestic insurance companies that really run our marketplace now spring up. And that's really where those problems started.
Were many of those, Hillary, subsidiaries or spinoffs of some of these bigger companies? So they were limiting the bigger company's risk by starting a smaller company here?
Some of those were, but really most of them were people who had never run insurance companies before. You know, we have insurance companies that were operating out of a residential home, you know, responsible for millions and millions and millions of dollars of risk, and their office was located in a residential home in a neighborhood, yet they had the responsibility of that many homeowners on their books. So what we really saw was this influx of these small domestic state-run insurance companies. And what was problematic about that was these insurance companies only needed, you know, a few million dollars, $10 million to open. They were really,
they were undercapitalized.
They were undercapitalized. And as a result of that, they were writing, you know, more policies than they had money in the bank for. And they rely heavily on reinsurance markets, which is basically insurance for insurance companies so they can protect themselves. But why that became a problem for homeowners and for your listeners is reinsurance is 40 to 50% of what you pay in your premium. So 40 cents to 50 cents of every dollar of your premium goes overseas. It goes to Bermuda. It goes to London. It goes to Switzerland, to these really big reinsurance companies that we have no oversight over. We don't regulate them. We can't regulate their prices, and we are beholden to them because without them, our insurance companies in the state of Florida don't operate. And since 2018, when you want to know why your prices have gone up so drastically, since 2018, the cost of reinsurance has gone up at least 30% every single quarter. And when you've got that cost rising every quarter, which we as a state have no regulation over and can't control, you're going to see that in your pocketbook. And that's really the main driving factor as to why our prices have gone up as much as they've gone up. And reinsurance, really, it's a global marketplace. So we are paying for, in our reinsurance prices, the wildfires in California. When, you know, the storms, the hurricanes from Florida go to North Carolina causing billions of dollars, that's reinsurance. So the reinsurance market looks at our weather globally and says, okay, oceans are getting warmer, hurricanes are getting stronger, we're getting more wildfires, we have more flooding in places we've never seen. We're going to have to raise those prices to cover what's going globally. And Florida, you're a peninsula, you're subject to a lot of risk, you're going to bear the brunt of those costs.
Wow. Monique, as you got into this and started looking at these issues, what did you see in all this?
Well, and I wanted to comment on her notes about reinsurance. This was shocking to me because we have no transparency into this either. This is just a number that's literally handed to the insurance company and says, this is what it costs.
And you'll either pay it or you won't have it.
That's right.
Wow.
That's a little bit scary. So as a layman looking at this market, one of the fascinating things about, let's just call it about Tallahassee, is everybody thinks it's Republicans versus Democrats up there. And the reality is it's not. It's actually the insurance industry against the trial lawyers. And that's born out of the fact that we have this highly regulated market, and people are constantly fighting to make sure that we are swinging a pendulum in one direction versus the other. And I think over decades of swinging that pendulum, we have caused some of this crisis without appropriate oversight, and that's what we're learning.
Well, you raise an interesting question, because as elected Republicans to the House, you guys would tend to fall on the conservative side of these issues, where state regulation is seen by many as not a good thing, sometimes a necessary thing. Does it appear that more regulation is the answer to this insurance crisis, or is deregulation somehow better, and what are the dangers involved there?
Yeah, this is a tough, it's tough to answer that, because, as you know, we've just begun an investigation, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about that later. But
we will, yeah.
But as we learn from that investigation, I think we'll be in a better place to answer that question. For me, as a free market person, I think that overregulation has probably been part of the cause of this problem. And what I've also learned is that we thought we had oversight in the Office of Insurance Regulation, which is the department of the executive branch of our government. Mm-hmm. And frankly, they have failed us. We have not been getting the transparency that we thought we were getting. We have not been getting the oversight that we thought we were getting. And so the reality is, as a legislator, I can't tell you where we stand today. And that's very concerning.
Hillary Cassell, you've worked this as an attorney from the insurance company angle, from the property owner angle. And how does regulation play into all of this? And what have you seen as far as the state's involvement and cause and effect, whether it be positive or negative?
So I think this is one of those areas where regulation really is key, because who you're battling, right, is the everyday consumer against really large corporations, against big insurance companies. Mm-hmm. And this is a product, you have to remember, we don't have a choice in buying. Consumers have to purchase this product. 85% of homeowners have a mortgage connected to their home. That mortgage in Washington, D.C., with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, dictate what you are required to have to qualify to be a homeowner. Those qualifications dictate the type of insurance companies that we have, because it comes with certain regulations. And that's really to protect the consumer. If you think about it, these are what we call contracts of adhesion, meaning you, the consumer, have no negotiating power in what you purchase at all. You don't get to work with your broker or your agent and say, I don't like the terms of this. Can we go back to the insurance company and get a better deal? That's not how it works. So as a result of that, when you have a consumer with no real purchase power, and you have an insurance company or insurance corporations with all of the power, you've got to have that regulation to make sure that we don't have consumers left in a place where what they're buying isn't worth the paper that it's written on, and that there's regulation to make sure these are companies are doing the right thing with those dollars so they can pay when that time comes. So I think what we've had is an actual lack of regulation in this space. We had a previous insurance commissioner who was singularly, in my opinion, focused on really doing a detrimental service to consumers in the state and focusing his reforms to really benefit the insurance company. And we didn't have somebody watching over these insurance companies. We had 9 insurance companies go insolvent on his watch. That's his number one job, to regulate the solvency of these insurance companies. And we've never really delved in to why those companies went insolvent. So I think we've had a lack of regulation, which has put us in a position where insurance companies are folding. That cost is falling onto consumers. We don't have a lot of capacity in the marketplace, and prices go up when that happens.
Yeah, very true. You mentioned the storms in 2004, and I sat in these studios for weeks at a time going through that with our audience. And right after that, we saw the formation of Citizens and a state involvement in an insurance company because, as you mentioned, the big guys left. Have we created a marketplace for these insurance companies to come back into Florida and help alleviate the problem? Have we seen some solutions here? It appears they're starting to work. Is that actually happening?
So I think it depends on what side of the coin, right, you sit on, so to speak. Yes, we've had 11 new insurance companies come into this state. But in my opinion, we've really just recreated the same problem we created in 04 and 05 with the companies that opened up shop in 2006, and the majority of which are no longer with us today. They didn't survive. When you are undercapitalized and you overwrite your policy, meaning the best way I always put it to somebody is think of it like an airline. We know airlines oversell seats. Then some of us come to the airport, try to get on that plane, and they say, sorry, we're over full. Who's willing to go on standby? Well, that's kind of what our insurance companies are doing in the state. They're overselling the policies that they really have in their bank account to pay for if everybody comes knocking. That's why they rely on reinsurance to fill that gap. And when we look at the companies that are coming in, we really haven't increased the capitalization that we require them to have. They only need $15 million to open up an insurance company, but they overwrite the $15 million that they have in the bank. So we've recreated the same system, and that's what I have concerns about, that are we just going to repeat history in 10 years when we get a few more storms back to back and these companies don't have the capacity to handle it and they fold.
Is there a mindset in the legislature for adding that regulation to make these people accountable for the funds that they have or the reinsurance they're able to have so they're not overriding these policies? Monique, what's the temperature in Tallahassee?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fine line, right? Because we want to make the market attractive to companies to come in. And at the same time, we need to have the consumer's protections in mind. Going back to your point earlier, that the picture she just painted, one other factor in that is that Citizens was taking the high-risk policies out of the market. So the state of Florida was on the hook for some of the most high-risk policies, mm-hmm. even though we have these companies in here that were not really in a position to be insuring properly. And so that's a really big concern.
I bought a home in the last year and a half, moved from beachside to the mainland, and was forced into Citizens on the mainland where I had a less risky policy. But as you mentioned, Hillary, capacity was reached by these other insurance companies. There was nowhere to put me but Citizens. Are we going to see a fix to that? And I got about 30 seconds here.
I think we have the fix for it. It's actually a bill that I've worked on the last 2 years. It basically rethinks this entire marketplace as we know of Citizens. So I'd love to chat with you when we come back about
that. Let's do that because I am interested in that. I was shocked that I couldn't get a commercial policy and was forced into Citizens when I did that. It's the Florida Roundtable and it's the insurance crisis, and we're back in moments.
Fresh Florida bell peppers. These culinary chameleons make every meal just as dazzling as they are delicious. Vivid and vibrant and downright delectable, boasting a playful palette of colors, Florida bell peppers paint any dish a flavorful masterpiece. From picturesque pastas to spicy salsas, fresh stacked salads to sizzling fajitas, Florida bell peppers are a feast for all the senses. To see what Florida bell peppers can do for you, visit freshfromflorida.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it.
800-410-6385. 800-410-6385. 800-410-6385. That's 800-410-6385.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Cronk witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as The Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Bill Mick with Representatives Hillary Cassell and Monique Miller as we dissect the Florida insurance crisis and potential solutions. And as we paused for a moment, Hillary, we were talking about potential fixes to what's been the problem here. I want to be optimistic. Help me do that.
Well, listen, anytime you get into a marketplace like this, it's going to take some time. And while I hate saying that, because that's what I feel the insurance industry and that's what I feel our insurance commissioners always saying, give it time. That is the reality. We didn't get here overnight. But I'm somebody that, you know, looks at history and says, are we really going to let it repeat itself? So while this marketplace is quote unquote rebounding, I think we need to be forward thinking and preparing ourselves for if and when, sadly, this marketplace potentially falls apart in the future, because again, history will likely repeat itself when you create the companies that we've created. And are we going to be ready at that time for when that happens? And, you know, we talk about and pat ourselves on the back that Citizens is depopulating. Well, what does that actually mean? And what does that really look like? Our goal right now is these insurance companies that are coming in are taking policies off of Citizens. And in theory, that sounds wonderful. But really what you said at the beginning hit the nail on the head. We are putting them into companies that are not taking the riskiest of the riskiest policies. We allow them to cherry pick the best of the best. And we as residents, Floridians, are left withholding the riskiest policies still in Citizens. Citizens still carries all the condos, the coastal areas, the areas prone to flooding. So when we think about what the risk is and that potential assessment in the future, that isn't being alleviated right now. And that's really concerning to me, because when you let these companies come in, they take the most profitable policies, Citizens isn't spreading the risk. And that's where the worry sets in. When you don't spread the risk around the state, chances are you're likely going to get hit because you're in the pockets that are most vulnerable to loss. And that then you know, falls on the backs of Floridians.
Well, so the overall idea of insurance is to spread the risk among everybody that's out there. Monique, you've got a thought here.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, so not only are we on the hook for those citizens' policies, but we are on the hook for the ones that go bankrupt after having taken all of the policy, all of the premiums from Floridians all that time and can't pay them out when they go bankrupt. So in both cases, the state of Florida is on the hook.
Are we mandating then, Hillary, a spread of these riskier policies to the other companies in play if they're going to play in Florida? And then that turns them around and runs them back out.
And that's the problem, right? You know, people all the time will say, why aren't we mandating auto insurance companies that write property in other places in the country to write property in Florida? And I said, wouldn't that be great? But we're not in the practice of mandating how people run their businesses. This is Florida. It's the free market. And the insurance industry is no different. We don't mandate where they get their policies from. And I don't necessarily know if that's the answer either, right? We allow companies to operate the way that they have created their business plan to operate. But as a result of that, it leaves citizen, the residual market, on the hook for the riskiest of the riskiest and doesn't allow us to spread that risk. And that's concerning to me because we're currently under what we call a FIGA, Florida Insurance Guarantee Assessment Association assessment for private insurance companies failing. So again, like Monique mentioned, this assessment is a risk to us, whether it's citizens or the state doing an assessment or these private insurance companies failing.
Monique?
Yeah, and when's the last time you got a policy and you actually went through the policy and said, nah, you know what, I'm not really crazy about the terms of this policy. I'm going to keep shopping it. Most people make the decision.
I didn't have a choice.
Right, yeah. That's it. Most people are like, hey, somebody wants to insure me. Happy day. I'll just sign. That's a problem, too. We don't have the opportunity to shop those policies and to actually know the quality of the company that we are contracting with.
Hillary, where do you think fix lies?
So I think the fix is we go back to Citizens being a joint underwriting association. That was the original intent, right? I'm a big believer that we got to live in reality. We can't live in this fantasy land. And everybody wants to talk about, well, Citizens is the insurer of last resort. Well, since Citizens' inception, it has only been the insurer of actual last resort for a period of less than 3 years.
Wow.
It is always the number one insurance company. So if that's our reality, right, instead of living in fantasy land that the private marketplace is going to meet the need of Floridians, let's live in reality. And quite frankly, Citizens is the best run insurance company in the state of Florida. They have this model in Monroe County because for the last 25 years, wind coverage is not available in the private marketplace in Monroe County. So Citizens had to step up and become the only wind-only carrier in Citizens, which means Citizens covers the wind, the private marketplace comes in, fills the gap for everything else that can happen to your house, the fires, the lightning, the water damage, the theft, and Citizens covers the risky part of the wind. Well, for 22 out of 25 of those years, Citizens has turned a minimum of a $50 million profit in Monroe County, even in years where they've had hurricanes. So you have to ask yourself, how does this model work? Why is it working so well in one of the riskiest places in the state where the private marketplace won't even come in? And can we expand that model out? Because I'm, quite frankly, Bill, I'd rather know at the end of the day that if I'm going to reach, I'm going to have an assessment, which again is a real possibility, whether it's a private marketplace failing or Citizens, which Citizens can never fail, right? It's backed by the state of Florida. It's the right. only insurance company in the state that can't go insolvent. I'd rather know that my dollars are going to bail out my neighbor through Citizens than some insurance company executive that cleaned their bank accounts and left us high and dry after a storm.
I've heard the model you're talking about discussed. I like the answer you're given. Question becomes, Monique, is there the mindset in Tallahassee to be accepting of that? And how's it being received up there? Are you hearing anything that way?
Well, sure. I think all ideas are on the table. I think we all realize that we're at a point now where we have to get creative and think outside the box because the status quo is clearly not working. The biggest challenge we have before us is, as we've all learned in the last two months, that there was this report that was done that shows that we don't really have an understanding of what's going on inside the insurance companies. And without an understanding of what has happened to get here, it's hard for us to move forward with a solution.
Speaking of that, that's where I want to go next, which is there are recent reports, the Miami Herald, the Tampa Bay Times, that there was an investigation done by the Office of Insurance Regulation that was being prepared that these insurance companies were misreporting their profits made, not paying claims, claiming that they were bankrupt when they'd spread these profits to other entities, subsidiary companies, companies outside the state, whatever it may be, to make them look poor in order to get favorable legislation and favorable conditions in the state of Florida. That investigation was dropped when we changed insurance commissioners. Well, at least that's what the job used to be. And when we changed the head of that agency and started a new one, and that report just disappeared and never got to the legislature. Let's lay that out a little bit. Monique, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so we got this report, and I think everybody sort of this came to light for everybody when the press was actually doing what the press is supposed to do. They dug into it was an investigative article. And
took them 2 years to get the records request fulfilled.
Absolutely, and I was astonished to learn that. And so we've had an opportunity to do some investigations on that. I went to leadership and said, if we don't have an opportunity in light of this report to bring people in under oath and ask questions, there's no point in having a committee. And I was delighted that Speaker Perez immediately made that a priority.
This was a part of his opening day of the session address, and I'm glad that it is.
Yeah, it is. So that report basically showed that there, over a period of time, I think it was 19 to 21, the insurance companies showed a loss of $432 million, while their affiliate companies showed a net income of $1.8 billion. Now, this is not an unusual setup. You have, subsidiaries and affiliate companies, and you might ask them to do what their functions are and pay them money to go do those functions. That's not an unusual thing for any corporate structure. The problem is that we have learned that we don't have the visibility into this. And after it's now 4 years after this report was written, we don't have any idea whether they showed a profit or not because we don't have access to the data. We have two commissioners that couldn't tell us, hey, did these guys make money or not while they're not paying out claims to Floridians. And what's worse is nobody could explain to me why it took 2 years for them to get that public records request fulfilled. Nobody understood why the commissioner himself was unaware of it until 2022. I'm sorry, until 2024 when the request was made in 2022. It totally unacceptable. He did take responsibility for that, but that's not good enough. This is a disaster. We've let down Floridians.
I want to explore that when we continue on the Florida Roundtable. As we continue to look at the insurance crisis for Florida homeowners, we'd like to see a solution. We'd like to have one tomorrow. That's not very likely. Representative Monique Miller, Representative Hillary Cassell with us as they are directly involved in whatever the state is going to do here. Hillary, I want to get your insider take from the industry and as a legislator on what's coming up. This report seems very damning. But what is it the state can do? Next on the Florida Roundtable.
This boating season, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission wants to remind you to wear your life jacket. You make a difference in the life of your family. As a parent, it's your job to keep your kids safe and be there for them. You do it at home, at school, and you need to do it on the water as well. Always wear your life jacket and have your children wear theirs too. It's a basic step that saves lives. Life jackets save lives. Wear it, Florida. Visit myfwc.com for more information. That's myfwc.com.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-648-9174. 800-648-9174. That's 800-648-9174.
When was the last time you had a truly awesome nursery experience? A nursery and garden center with a huge selection and friendly expert advice. We're talking about Quality Green Specialists in DeLand. At Quality Green, we have your favorite plants, fruit trees, flowers, vegetables, and herbs. Plus, with our 8011 fertilizer, organic azomite, and composted soil, your garden will look its very best. Great plants, sustainable products, friendly expert advice. 335 West Michigan Avenue, DeLand, and online at qualitygreenspecialist.com.
The skills needed to drive safely are the first ones affected when you use drugs or alcohol. When you get behind the wheel impaired, you put your life and others at risk. You can also face a DUI. DUIs are costly, and you will lose your license. And you may even face jail time. DUIs stay on your record for 75 years. Drive sober or game over. Visit flhsmv.gov/impaired for more information. Sponsored by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Thanks for being with us this weekend on the Florida Roundtable as we look at the Florida insurance crisis with Representatives Hillary Cassell and Monique Miller. Hillary, we got Monique's take on this most recent development with a report not being made public by the Insurance Regulation Office, not getting to the legislature where it should have gotten, and it seems to be hiding the fact that insurance companies could very well have been playing financial tricks with the books to show that they're not making a profit when they were. Give me your take on this. You've worked on the in the industry on both sides as far as this goes. So tell me how you see it and where do we go from here?
Yeah, so my take on this is sadly, this is not a new problem. I know it was a bombshell for a lot of people, but this historically is an issue that's plagued our state since the inception, as I mentioned earlier, of these small carriers that came to the state, because this is the business model that they primarily rely on. And so people have a better understanding of what these companies are. They're affiliated companies, meaning they're really one in the same of the insurance company and what we call the managing general agent. It's as if your dad hires, you know, that my dad hires me to go run a second company of his. Clearly, there's going to be commingling. There's going to be conversations between the two, and they're going to be there to benefit one another. So what we see is these insurance companies really moving money to be able to come to before OIR and say, we're so sorry, we don't have the claims paying capacity because we don't have any money. So we've got to raise our rates all at the same time, putting the money really in their pockets in through another company. But it's something that's plagued our system for some time. This is not new. So now where do we go to make sure we have the regulation and the oversight so people are charging what are called fair and reasonable rates? And I think one of the things that was most interesting to me about the committee is we don't know, is this a few outliers, right? Is this just a few of the bad companies that have made these decisions as a business decision to do this, or is this a systemic problem? And I think that's really one of those big questions that we have got to get answered. And when the report doesn't make its way to the legislature and we haven't continued that investigation, when I say we, our Office of Insurance Regulation didn't continue that, we don't actually know how big the problem is.
Is there regulation that can make this transparent, force this transparency? Monique, we'll start with you.
Well, I thought it was interesting, and this actually came out, it was one of Hillary's questions of the commissioner in the investigation, is, you know, fair and reasonable is not defined anywhere. But this report revealed that there was clear instances that most of the insurance companies were not charging fair and reasonable rates. Well, number one, we should probably all understand what that is and have a common definition of that.
Sure.
And number two, if it isn't fair and reasonable as the industry understands it, that is a big problem. And this has been going on for 5 years. And that's a problem.
It is. There's no doubt. Any way to make them transparent, Hillary?
Yeah, I think that's what our task is going to be. We've passed some reforms and again, part of this question is reforms with regards to these types of companies was presented to us at a time where this report was in the hands of the Office of Insurance Regulation. And to give a little bit more of my background, I've been engaged in the legislative process as a consumer advocate before I ran for office. So I've been engaged in this legislative process on this specific issue well before I ran for office. And what was always interesting when it comes to this time period is we did pass some reforms to give OIR some more regulation over those MGAs, but we weren't told why we were doing that. Everybody in this space recognizes oversight is really key to making sure, like I talked about earlier, consumers are protected and insurance companies aren't pulling the wool over our eyes. So regulation is really key. But as a legislator, I expect the heads of my agency, when they present legislation to me, I get the why. Mm-hmm. And we did not get the why when we passed those reforms, because maybe we would have gone further knowing that this information was out there. And I think that's what's so disappointing as a lawmaker. I'm here to make informed decisions that are going to be the best for Floridians. And if you only give me half of the data or half of the reason, or you don't tell me the reason at all, I don't know if we're going far enough. I don't know if we're going too far. And that's where we find ourselves today. Did we go too far on some of the consumer regulations that, in my opinion, really negatively hurt Floridians in this space? And did we not go far enough when it comes to having the right oversight on this specific issue to make sure we don't find ourselves in this position in the future?
Monique, half a minute here.
Go ahead. So just, I mean, that was the most egregious part of this whole thing. There was a special session at the end of 2022. The insurance commissioner had this report. And we did not, they did not provide that to the legislature. They only provided half the information and let them go into special session and make some sweeping changes to insurance regulation without all of the information.
And we're back to close the Florida Roundtable for this week. Is there a solution and how close are we? Hopefully we find that out when we continue in moments on the Florida News Network.
Up to 44% of veterans say reentry into civilian life was difficult, 20% say they experienced depression, and 6,000 vets complete suicide every year. You're not alone. At the Florida Veterans Support Line, over 300 veterans like you call every week for resources, referrals, and support. Connect with one of our veteran peers who has walked in your shoes and can help you take the next step. You're not alone. Call 1-844-MY-FL-VET or visit myflvet.com.
Excuse me, is this the checkout line?
Oh no, this is the line for Florida Sweet Corn.
Florida Sweet Corn is in season? Nobody told me.
You're not a member of the Fresh from Florida Club, are you?
The what?
The Fresh from Florida Club. Sign up at freshfromflorida.com and you'll get a heads up whenever locally grown produce is in season. The club has lots of free perks, but knowing when Florida Sweet Corn is available is one of my favorites.
Guess I'll be heading over to freshfromflorida.com after I get my Florida Sweet Corn.
Fresh from Florida. There's sunshine in every bite.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
Call 800-989-1647. 800-989-1647. That's 800-989-1647.
Did you know in Florida, 1 in 3 traffic crash fatalities are the result of an impaired driver? These fatalities are 100% preventable, yet thousands of people drive impaired every year. I'm on the way home from college for spring break. Don't let your decision to drive impaired be the reason I don't arrive alive. Drive sober or game over. Visit flhsmv.gov/impaired for more information. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Shortness of breath, patient's confused, temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready, let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association. Closing up this weekend's edition of the Florida Roundtable, Bill Mick with Representatives Hillary Cassell and Monique Miller on the state's insurance crisis. And Monique, we were running out of time as we closed that last segment, but we're hoping for solutions here. Mm-hmm. The legislature pursuing them, but you got to have the information in order to be able to do it.
That's right.
And the insurance regulation office, and held some of this back on you. Where do we go from here?
Yeah, so a lot of the reforms that they did in that special session included tort reforms. And now we find ourselves in a situation where the insurance companies have higher than normal non-payout rates. So people who were hit by storms are not getting paid out on the claims that they have filed. And unfortunately, now they have no recourse because hiring a lawyer to do this is very difficult based on what they did in that 2022 session. And I was delighted that Hillary's brought forth some legislation in this session that should help give them some temporary relief while we work out the longer term problem.
Hillary, what's the legislation about? Tell us.
Yeah, so, you know, I've had the honor and privilege, like I said, I've been on both sides of this issue. And, you know, I help people recover after literally they're the most catastrophic things to happen to people in Florida, right? Hurricanes. And what we've seen as a result of the legislation that we passed in 2022. And again, that was as a result of our then insurance commissioner really telling everybody the only way to right this marketplace is to take every tool David has to hold Goliath responsible. And what we've seen now is insurance companies have no incentive to do right by Floridians in their greatest time of need. You are paying the highest premiums in the country for insurance. And when it comes time to actually use that, first and foremost, you as the consumer have been blamed for the product's failure because you said, hey, I've paid for this contract. Now the promises that you made, insurance company, I'm asking that you honor them. Mm-hmm. And then you're blamed for failure. So I have legislation. I think members that were there at the time all really agree that maybe we went too far when it comes to the consumer reforms that were passed. And consumers need the opportunity to hold insurance companies accountable. And the only way that you can do it is saying, listen, I have damages. You owe me my damages. But if I have to sue you to get those, I shouldn't also have to be out of pocket my attorney's fees bill. But what my bill does is also it gives ammunition to the insurance company because let's be honest, there's a lot of frivolous litigation out there. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of problems with roofers and water restoration companies and assignment of benefits, which I am a staunch supporter that those were a huge part of the reforms that really were or a huge part of the problem, and reforms to that was absolutely necessary. And we should never go back as a state and allow that type of behavior to happen. But
just
when
about
a
minute here to let you know so we can get to the solution. Go ahead.
But at the end of the day, we need consumers to be able to have access to hold those bad insurance companies accountable and bad insurance companies to be able to recover against bad consumers and bad lawyers. So my bill really evens that playing field, provides consumers the relief that they need, while, like Monique said, we've got a lot of investigating to do to wrap our minds around a really complicated topic. And I'm so thankful that the speaker is allowing us to finally dig in. As a legislator with only 60 days to tackle this subject, it's really great that we're focusing on this as an investigative. And I think it's going to take us some time, but that's what this subject requires.
Is there going to be a companion bill in the Senate that will make this possible to have it happen?
On my bill, there is a Senate bill companion. Absolutely.
Okay, very good. Sadly, we are out of time. Monique Miller, Hillary Cassell, representatives in the Florida House, thank you for this week and the education on insurance. Hopefully, we find that solution. Thank you for joining us on the roundtable this weekend. We'll be back next weekend here, same time, on this station with the Florida Roundtable.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Mick, a news and public affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.